Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Amen. My question this morning, are you born again? Me ne oplega dor a thor da blor. Are you born again? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time this morning to firstly read your word in this way, and we ask for your blessing upon the reading of your word. And then, Lord, we ask that you would, get our attention, as it were, by thy Spirit, and, Lord, you would speak to our hearts, Lord, for those of us who are born again. Lord, may we be refreshed as we think about thy great salvation, and then, Lord, even more, Lord, committed to going out and telling others how they too may be born again. But then, Father, if there's someone or someone's here this morning who's never been born again, they've never come to that place of trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Saviour, Father, may the things that are said this morning, Lord, be used of you, Lord, to bring them to that place where you would open their hearts and cause them, Lord, to be born again even this day. So we commit ourselves to you now, Lord. We ask that you would bless your word, bless our time. May your will be done. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Are you born again? Mi neuro plegador a thor da blor. Are you born again? The Bible here in John chapter 3 speaks of this man called Nicodemus in these opening verses, this man called Nicodemus who was a ruler of the Jews, and he was a Pharisee. He was a very religious man and by human standards a very spiritual man, and yet this man, Nicodemus, had never been born again. He had never come to that place of rest and faith and trust in the Lord Jesus as his Saviour. This same man came to the Lord Jesus by night. There are various reasons perhaps why he came. Some say he was too frightened to come during the day. Others say he came at night, because at least at night time he might be able to get a little personal time with the Lord and be able to ask him some questions that were obviously pressing on his heart and pressing on his soul concerning spiritual matters. He said to the Lord Jesus, as he calls him Rabbi, he said, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God." Nicodemus could see that there was something different about the Lord Jesus. He hadn't yet come to the place where he accepted Christ as the Messiah and the Saviour, but he could see there was obviously something quite different. He said, "For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." And Nicodemus, whatever he may have been, he was a wise man in the sense that he came to the Lord Jesus to find out some things about the things of God and about spiritual truths. He knew this was clearly a man from God. This was something outside the normal. It was something very unusual, the way the Lord Jesus was healing and doing miracles. And so he came to him with some questions in his heart and his mind. And the Bible says there in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The Lord Jesus, knowing the needs of this man and no doubt understanding what was upon his heart, he got right down to the point straight away. He didn't open up and say, "Do you believe in God?" or "Are you an atheist?" or anything else. He got right down to the very critical, crucial matter and told him straight out, "Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now remember, this is a Pharisee. This is the teacher in Israel. This is the man who everybody would look up to, and the Lord Jesus could look him in the eye and say, "If you're not born again, you will not see the kingdom, Nicodemus." Now for Nicodemus, that would have been quite a shocking thing. I mean, I could just picture in my mind Nicodemus, as it were, taking a step back and thinking, "Now, just a minute. I know you're from God and you're obviously someone special, but to say that I won't even see the kingdom, that would be a shocking thing for him." And yet, praise God, he didn't take offense and say, "Well, if that's the way you're going to be, see you later." And so the Lord Jesus got right down to the very critical thing for Nicodemus. He needed to be born again. He was a religious man. He was a religious leader and a teacher. And no doubt he was probably like the Apostle Paul. You remember Paul in Philippians, he gave his testimony. And he said how he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees and how he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And he said, "Regarding the law, I was blameless." Paul, as Saul could say, "Before I got saved, I was blameless when I looked at the law. And you could have asked me any questions. Have you committed adultery?" And I would have said no. And you could have asked me, "Have I murdered?" And I would have said no. Paul said, "Regarding the law, I was blameless." And I believe if we could have asked Nicodemus that night that sort of a question, "What about you regarding the law?" I'm suggesting he would have said, "Blameless. I'm the teacher in Israel. I'm the spiritual leader here." And the Lord Jesus said, "You won't even see the kingdom except you be born again." You won't do it. "Except a man be born again." Nicodemus, not just you, but any man, except a man be born again, he will not see the kingdom. Cannot enter into it. You have a look in verse 4 and 5. Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And I appreciate Nicodemus because he thinks on a very practical level. I like to try and think on a practical level. And I could just see, in a sense, myself thinking as Nicodemus did when the Lord Jesus said, "You must be born again," and thinking, "Now, how's that going to work? That means I'm going to have to go back into my mother's womb and be born again, or born the second time." That's Nicodemus. Not a foolish question at all, not a foolish statement at all. He's thinking merely on a natural plane, thinking humanly, what about being born again? That means I've got to go back in through my mother's womb and come out again for the second time perhaps. Is that what you're saying? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? And the Lord Jesus didn't get into a lot of discussion and debate with them about him. He merely said in verse 5, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Nicodemus, you not only cannot see the kingdom, you will not enter it except you be born again. Now, how important is this teaching then of being born again? How critical is it? How important? And you can see why I've said the Lord Jesus got right down to that which was critical and important for Nicodemus. It doesn't matter whether he's a Pharisee. That won't get him into the kingdom. It doesn't matter whether he keeps the law as he understands that. He will not see or enter the kingdom. And the Lord Jesus has mercy on him and graciously says, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again. Otherwise, you won't see, you won't enter the kingdom. Nicodemus, I appreciate what you're saying, but you're thinking in a natural way. You're thinking in a human way about this business of being born again, or we call it today perhaps the new birth. Well, in verse 6, the Lord Jesus gives a little more explanation there. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus, you need to understand something. A man needs two births. His first birth, obviously, is that physical birth when you come from your mother's womb. That's when you're born the first time. But Nicodemus, you need a second birth, and this second birth is brought about by the Spirit of God, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Nicodemus, your problem is you're still thinking humanly, you're still outside the kingdom, and by the way, you will not see or enter it except you be born again. And so the Lord Jesus says there in verse 7, just to emphasize this truth, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. I've mentioned this before and read it about George Whitefield, I think it was, who would be often preaching this passage, ye must be born again. And one day someone asked him, Mr. Whitefield, you're often and preaching, you must be born again. He said, why? They said to him, why is it that you're always preaching this message? He said, let me tell you why. They said, why is that? He said, because you must be born again. You must be born again. It's not good enough just to go to church. It's not enough, as Nicodemus no doubt could have said, I'm from a religious family. And my father was a teacher as well, and we're Pharisees. I mean, we'll be in the kingdom. The Lord Jesus said, you won't be there. You won't even see it, Nicodemus. And so on a human level, we think as long as I'm a good person, then I'll be there. Yeah, then I'll see the kingdom. The Lord Jesus, no, except you be born again, you won't. You won't see it, you won't enter it. And so we have all sorts of teachings, and some would go to verse 5 here, where the Lord Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. Some take that verse and twist it and say that means you have to be baptized, others won't be in the kingdom. It's got nothing to do with baptism. Baptism pictures death. It doesn't picture new life. The resurrection pictures new life. But going down into the waters of baptism speaks of my death with Christ. I am crucified with Christ as a believer. The water here is the water of the word, and it's also the natural birth he's speaking about. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. There's a water birth, if we call it that, a birth of the flesh. There's a birth of the Spirit, which is being born again. We know from other passages in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, where Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's the water of the word. In Ephesians chapter 5, and Paul was writing there about the relationship of the husband and wife and Christ and the church. And he said he's going to present the church to himself without spot and blemish. And he's going to do it through the washing of the water of the word. Except a man be born again. So for to be born again, we must hear the word of God. We must hear the gospel that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose physically and bodily from the grave the third day according to the scriptures. Except a man or a woman, a young person hears that, they cannot be born again. You do not get born again like John Denver, I understand, one time looked up in the sky and saw a great shooting star, and he said, I saw that star, and he said, I was born again. You do not get born again by looking at some shooting star. It's amazing and impressive, a shooting star, but you get born again when you hear the word of God and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's have a look in John chapter 1. Speaking about being born, the Lord Jesus says, born again. In John chapter 1, just back a page, in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood. John says, those who became the sons of God, they weren't sons of God by natural birth. You know, I've heard people say, well, my parents are Christians, therefore I'm a Christian. I've been born into a Christian home. That makes me a Christian. That does not make you a Christian. John said, which were born not of blood. You can have the most godly parents on planet Earth and be born of those parents and still die and go to hell, except you be born again. It's not being born, it's not a natural, you're not born a Christian. Notice what John also says, nor of the will of the flesh. And we've already touched on that. You do not get born again by believing and keeping the commandments. You do not get born again by being baptized, by speaking in tongues, by joining a certain group, and all the other things that people add to this idea of being born again and being saved. Nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. There is no man on planet Earth today who can save another lost soul. There is nobody who can save another person outside the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can save someone. It's not of the will of man. It's not going to the priest and going into the confessional and confessing all your sins to the priest. All that'll do is put you in bondage, because now he's got a whole lot of sin on you, and who knows what he can do with that. It is not that. It is not born of blood. It is not born of the will of the flesh. They are not born of the will of man. Notice how he finishes that verse, but they are born of God. Of God. The new birth is something that God produces in the heart and life of a person. In John chapter 3, as we go back there, the Lord Jesus gives a little explanation, first of all, to Nicodemus about the idea of the new birth. And he takes the wind to give some illustration here. Verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus, I need to tell you something. This new birth is not something that people are going to be able to watch happen. This is not something that you do to be born again. You don't get up on the platform and all those other things that could happen. Nicodemus, to be born again, it is a work of the Spirit of God. And it's like the wind. The Lord Jesus said, the wind blows where it listeth. You go out there and try and stop the wind and see how you go. One of the worst days, I believe, is not the hot day or the cold day, it's the windy day. You can't do anything about the wind. You can do something to get cool, you can do something to get warm, but you can't stop the wind. It just keeps blowing. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, you can hear it, and whither it goeth, you can see the results of that. The trees move, the leaves move, the flowers move, our hair moves, everything moves in the wind. We can see that. And he says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The Spirit of God takes the word of God, as we've said in Peter, being born again of the word of God. And he applies it to the heart of that individual. And you and I can't see it. Maybe this morning the Spirit of God is touching someone's heart here and saying, you must be born again or you won't be in the kingdom. And you're wondering what it is. You sense this, well, how come I feel uncomfortable? And why is it I got this sense of maybe someone speaking to me outside the pastor? That's the Spirit of God who comes like the wind to speak to your heart and he's challenging you and saying to you, ye must be born again. You're like Nicodemus. Maybe you're a good person. Maybe you go to church. Maybe you're in a youth group. Maybe you're a youth leader, whatever. But you've never been born again. And you know in your heart this morning, the wind, the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart and saying to you, ye must be born again, or you will not see, or you will not enter the kingdom. Won't happen, the Lord Jesus said. You go down to verse 14, and the Lord Jesus is still helping Nicodemus here, and now he gives him a very practical illustration that Nicodemus would be very mindful of. Remember, he's the teacher in Israel. He knows the Old Testament. I would suggest he's probably one of those who'd memorized those first five books of the Old Testament. He could have quoted that passage just like that. And so the Lord Jesus takes him where? To the Word of God. Why? We are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus takes him to the Word of God. And he says, now listen, Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Nicodemus, you want to know what being born again is? Nicodemus, it's believing on me. It's trusting me. It's believing that when I die on the cross, I'm going to be paying the price for your sins. And when I rise again the third day, I'll be doing it on your behalf. Nicodemus, you have to believe. To be born again, you must believe on the Lord Jesus. When the jailer asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's not enough to believe that he's a miracle worker. It's not enough to believe he's obviously a man from God, because someone who performs these miracles must be from God. No, we must believe that he is the Savior of the world, that he is our sin bearer when he died on the cross, and that he rose again the third day. And so the Lord Jesus takes Nicodemus back those many years to that time in the wilderness, and you can find it in Numbers chapter 21, where the people spoke against God and they spoke against Moses, and immediately God sent serpents into their midst, and the Bible says there that many people died. You say, why is that? Because they had sinned against God. In verse 7 of Numbers 21, the Bible says that we have sinned against God, Moses, and we have sinned against you. What did Paul say to the Romans? For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And here it was in a very literal way in the camp there in Israel those many years earlier. They had sinned against God and against God's man Moses. And the result was there was a wage or penalty for their sin, which was death. And they came to Moses and said, could you pray for us? We've sinned. And Moses approached God and God said, here's what you need to do. I'm going to provide a way of salvation. I'm going to provide a way for people to not die as a result of the wages of sin, which is death. Moses, here's what you need to do. Get a pole and put a brazen serpent on the likeness of those serpents there and put it in the center of the camp. And Moses, tell the people when they look up there, they won't die if they've been bitten by a serpent. But any other thing they might try, except they look up there, they will die. It's a little like the Lord Jesus said, except a man be born again, he won't see the kingdom. He won't enter the kingdom. And so we don't know all that took place there and what was going on in people's minds, but they could have had all sorts of foolish questions and foolish statements. And I could just see some people there, they've been bitten by a serpent, and I can see some intelligent so-called atheist saying, well, I don't believe in God. Moses, I don't care what you say. I'm not going to look up there. I believe in rational things. I believe in things you can touch. I can't see God. I don't believe in God. And Moses said, well, if you don't look, you'll die. Except you look, you'll die. Well, what happened to that man? He died because he wouldn't look. Too proud, too stubborn, too intellectual. And we could go on in many things. Some could say, well, I'm a Jew. I'm one of God's chosen people. Come on, I can't die. Have a look around you, sir. There's dead bodies all through the camp. You say, how did they die? Because the wages of sin is death. God sent those serpents as judgment upon them. And the Lord Jesus said, this is a little picture of what happens when people die in their sin. They die and they are separated from God forever. They will not see, they will not enter the kingdom. God said, just look. look at that serpent and you'll live. Nicodemus, all you need to do is look to me and understand that when I die on that cross, it'll be for your sins. And when I rise again, it'll be on your behalf. And if you'll believe that and trust in me, you'll be born again. You will be born again, Nicodemus. John chapter 5, verse 1 in 1 John says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Nicodemus, you believe that I'm the Christ? You believe I'm the sin bearer of the world? You believe I'm dying for you and rising again the third day? You'll be born of me. You'll be born of God. See, to be born again is quite simple, really. There's something mystical about it in the sense it's like the wind. You can't see the Spirit of God touching someone's heart here maybe today and drawing them and saying, you need to listen to what he's saying. What he's saying is right. You must be born again. You are a sinner. Don't try and make out you're a good person. Don't look to all the good things. All your righteousnesses are filthy rags before God. You're a sinner. You're condemned. You're undone. You will not see or enter the kingdom except you be born again. And maybe you might say in your heart of hearts, God, I give up, as it were. Please, please, God, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Please, Lord, work through your Spirit that I might be born again this day. I believe that Christ died for me and was buried and rose again the third day. Just that look, Isaiah said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. You know, you've probably heard some of you at least about Charles Spurgeon. And Spurgeon is a young man. I think he was about 16. It was a very stormy day and not many people were out and about. It was snowing and it was stormy. And as a young 16-year-old, I think he was, he went into a little primitive Methodist church. Very few people there. The preacher couldn't even get there that day. The weather was so bad. There was an old deacon there and he stood up. And he took that text in Isaiah 45, verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And he hadn't prepared a message, really. He didn't really know what to say. But so he kept saying, you need to look unto the Lord to be saved. You need to look unto the Lord to be saved. And then he saw Spurgeon sitting up there, this young man, and he said, young man, you're looking very miserable. You need to look and be saved. And Spurgeon later said, I looked and I was saved. That look of faith that said, I believe Christ died for me, I believe he rose again, and I'm trusting him as my Saviour. And Spurgeon was saved. He was born again because he looked by faith at the cross and said, I believe he's doing that for me. Are you born again? Are you born again? Minero plague adur atha dablo. Are you born again? I want to just finish with this little story. One night at Canon Hay, Aitken preached to a large audience in Bristol, England, from the text, you must be born again. A man called Horatio Bottomley, not the normal name perhaps today, but a fine, brilliant young fellow, listened with rapt attention. He was deeply moved. At the close of the message, an invitation was given to the unsaved publicly to confess Christ and seek his mercy. And Bottomley thought, not I. This is not for me. I'll run my own life. He did run his own life. He made a fortune. He became the people's hero. He was a champion of the rights of the common man. He exposed swindlers and vigorously prosecuted them. When 63 years old, Bottomley, who had exposed the crimes of others, was himself found guilty of crime and sentenced to 7 years in prison. Captain Prayer of the Church Army visited him in prison. He told Bottomley the story of his conversion. And he said, years ago, I was in Colston Hall in Bristol. He said, Canon Hay Aitken preached on the text, you must be born again. He said, I was convicted of my sin and of my need of the Saviour. I accepted Christ. And since that memorable time, Christ has been all in all to me. Bottomley thought deeply, and then he said, I too heard that searching message. He said, I felt my great need of the Saviour, but I rejected him. Then he said remorsefully, a life without God is a wasted life. Imagine that. Two men hear the same message. You must be born again. One repents and believes on the Lord Jesus. The other goes off and becomes very famous and wealthy and wastes his life. And who knows, maybe he's in hell today. Don't know the end of that story. Let me ask you again this morning, are you born again? Are you born again? The Lord Jesus said, you must be. You must be born again. And maybe this morning someone is here and perhaps you're like this fellow who heard and you're thinking about saying, no, not for me. Don't forget his final words that we read. A life without God, without Christ, is a waste of life. Think about the other man who said, yes, I heard that message. You must be born again. I was convicted of my sin and the need of the Savior, and I accepted Christ on that occasion. You say this morning, well, I'm born again. Well, Lord bless you, and may you go out and tell others how they may be born again too. But perhaps this morning there's someone here who's never been born again. Maybe you've wondered what that means. You know, are you like Nicodemus and say, well, does that mean I've got to be born through my mother's womb again? I trust this morning we've said enough to say, no, it's a look of faith. It's that look that says, Christ died on the cross for me and was buried and rose again the third day. And I know I'm a sinner. God, please forgive me. I believe those truths. And you know, at that point, when someone does that, they're born again. It's as simple as that. Don't complicate it. Don't make it more difficult. Don't listen to the devil who would whisper in your ear, that's too easy. No, no, it's one of the hardest things to do, to admit that I'm a sinner, that if I die without Christ, I'd go to hell, and my pride rises up and says, no way, I'm not that bad. No, you are worse than that. You're worse than that. Except you be born again, you will not see, you will not enter the kingdom. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you as we bow before you now for this passage of Scripture we've looked at together. We thank you for Nicodemus, who clearly recognized there was something different about the Lord Jesus but didn't fully understand until that night when the Lord Jesus opened up to him this great truth that a man must be born again, and how he illustrated in different ways so that Nicodemus could have no doubt about the means of being born again, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you. We haven't looked at this morning, but later on in the Scriptures we find it was Nicodemus. It was one of those men who came to take the body of the Lord Jesus. Clearly, he'd been born again. Whether it was that night when he spoke to the Lord Jesus or some time after, we don't know. But we thank you that he did respond. And Lord, we've read this illustration of two men. Both heard the same message. One was born again, the other one rejected. Went on and won the fame of the world and lost his soul. And Father, you know our hearts here this morning. You know who's been born again and who hasn't. And Father, for all those who have, we want to give you the praise and give you the thanks. For we know salvation is of the Lord. We cannot save ourselves. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves acceptable unto God, but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, be born again. But Father, maybe there's someone here this morning who's never been born again, and you've been speaking to them this morning, Lord. They know it. They're like that man who knew that God was speaking to him, that wind of the Spirit of God. Nobody could see it, but in their heart they're saying, yes, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not saved. I know I've never been born again. But Lord, this morning they might say, I want to be born again. Lord God, I want to be born again this day. Please, please save me. Please make me one of your children. Please do what you can do alone, God, and save me this day. Just while our eyes are closed and heads bowed, I want to give you just an opportunity to maybe respond this morning. We read in that illustration how there was an invitation given to those who would want to be born again. And I want to do that this morning. Perhaps you're here this morning and you came here this morning. And you'd have to be honest, I was not born again when I came here this morning. but I've listened to the message, and by the grace of God this day, I want to believe, in fact, more than that, I now believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. I want to be born again. Is there anybody like that? I'd like to pray for you. You're not going to join this church or anything like that. You're not have to say anything. I'm not going to embarrass you. You're not going to come up and give a speech or anything else. But I would like to pray for you this morning. You say, Pastor Cotton, could you pray for me this morning? I acknowledge I'm a sinner. I believe the Lord Jesus died in my place and rose again. And the best way I know how, I'm believing on him and trusting him to cause me this day to be born again. Is there anybody like that? You slip your hand up and say, Pastor Cotton, pray for me. This morning, I'm believing on the Lord Jesus for salvation. I'm trusting him that I might be born again. Is there anybody like that? Again, you're not going to have to say a speech or anything else. But you slip your hand up so that I could pray for you, that God would make that real in your life, and you would know for sure that you'll be in the kingdom one day. Is there anybody at all? You slip your hand up. Again, you're not doing it to impress me. That I can't do it, not by the will of man, and not by your own efforts. You haven't been born a Christian. You must be born again. Is there anybody at all that say, Pastor, pray for me? I slip my hand up this morning. I'm trusting Christ. I want to be born again. Now, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to share these thoughts. We thank you for this great truth about the new birth, being born from above. And Lord, if there's anybody still not born again, Lord, then help them to see that hiding is not going to solve their problem. They need to be born again. Lord, for God's people who truly have been born again, Lord, may we rejoice in thy great salvation. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.